And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I'm Dan.
So, special guest, Dan Footon here with us tonight. Look, it's as much as convenience as anything, but we just thought, what's going to make this show better is just having more emotional pain to share with the listeners.
There's a lot of emotional pain.
And in fairness, this is a very special Richmond Tiger Talk, which also explains the poor audio quality, which we apologise for. This is the first podcast we've done in person for...
8 years?
I guess 10, but you know, we're just estimating here, but it's been a long time. So again, apologies if the audio quality is not to our usual high standards. But we've just had a very special night, and Nick, you have just been on the winning team in a trivia team because, surprisingly enough, you got a stats question right. Which,
who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Anyway, so very on brand.
I think we do need to back up and say there's no need to apologise for poor audio quality on this podcast. I think it's an expected feature. It's not a bug.
Maybe if we get time, you could tell the story of how you're going to donate podcast material to the podcast, to recording material to the podcast. But we have a game to review. As I posted on Twitter, it had very strong feelings of the Carlton round one game where Cousins did his hamstring. You're watching your whole at halftime.
I'd already sacked Uzo. He was already sacked.
But look, it was looking grim. You know, the stat that you'd love to quote, that a team that has lost by 100 points has never made the 8, correct?
Oh, no, that's not true anymore, but it's very unusual.
It's very unusual. It was looking so bad, and I just thought structurally everything is lost. We're just losing through the
system.
No, but we're losing through this. I thought, I at halftime, you know, I was relying on black humour to keep myself going, which... We have reserves of this. We have resilience. Oh,
surely, you know, a bit out of practice, but surely we are match fit in defeat and disappointment.
As supporters. But then the third quarter became, like, almost in a weird way inspiring got me back to a four.
It was a lot of fun. Look, we should, in an otherwise debacle of a first half... Oh, actually, I have something even more to complain about. The first half. So Seth Campbell kicks a goal just before half time,
which at the time I thought was going to be the highlight of the match for us.
Yeah, and look, great kid. You know, it's been out there. He's come. His family life's been difficult. Like, in what should have been just a moment of pure joy, the commentators instantly started talking about recruiting him for the new Tassie team.
Yes,
How are we just, like, we're only there and to prop up the last expansion club?
Yeah, and it's here we go again. It's 4 years away, and you've got a young man just trying to make a crack of it.
Look, I think we can also start another rumour, though, because apparently Damien Hardwick is going to be the inaugural coach of the new Tasmanian team as well. So that might be a positive to come out of this.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to talk about this later, but since we've gone down this tangent, I think we'll come back to the game, but Benny Gale has, by pretty good source, Caroline Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well-connected source.
With a very high degree of confidence that he will be the new CEO of the Tasmanian team, and Richmond is currently just trying to talk him into staying 6 more months. Reactions, Nick?
It's a day that was always going to come, but it's not going to feel all that good.
No, I'm going to disagree. I think it's good to get renewal, and I think it's a logical move for Benny because he's just missed out on the AFL top job, and so the biggest challenge in the AFL now will be to get that Tasmanian team to stand up. So I think for him personally, I think that would be a really fun job for him to do, and it could potentially be really good for us because new eyes... new approaches. It looks like we're going to have to do rebuild. We're going to have to do a fair bit of work off the team anyway. So a new set of eyes helping with that doesn't hurt. So I think it's good.
It's 15 years, right?
Yeah, leadership. There's a lot of talk about the science of leadership and that sort of length of time. And we saw this with Hardwick too. Maybe he stayed a bit too long.
And yeah, the management theory is it's he's done his time and it's time to move on. It just... It emotionally hurts. Tell that to
Vladimir Putin. Yeah, drafted to Richmond in 1988.
Yeah, like it was both Nick and I's favourite player when we sort of before the emergence of Richo. Like it was, it's emotionally, and it's really difficult time because we've got so much transition.
Mm.
You know, we've just lost our chief recruiter, we've lost our head coach and
multiple assistants. Yeah, article in the newspaper, we've got 23 players out of contract at the end of this year.
We've lost our foremost cryptocurrency supporter at the club. So
Hayden Hill.
Yeah, there's been a lot of turnover. So it's a painful time, but I don't mind overall. The thing that annoys me is the point you're making is our fans are subsidising already the expansion clubs. Our former coach, legitimately or not, was poached by an expansion club. We've given up all these draft clicks to the expansion club. Like it's just give, and it's sort of the AFL's endless need to subsidise. Like the Tassie fans are already footy fans, but it's like it's always the sexy new thing that has been subsidised by us. Anyway,
it's the draft concessions, because that history is that the clubs that are, you know, rebuilding at the time will be ignored in favour of the expansion club.
Yeah, I'm more annoyed about the draft concessions than I am about losing Benny, because that's not unreal. Like, if Benny hasn't leadership, like we talked
and
about.
And he is an icon of Tassie footy. Like, his dad was an All-Australian playing for Tassie at the State Carnival.
And you've often talked about how we have very warm feelings as Richmond towards Tasmania. Mm. So I think it'll be most Richmond fans' second team.
More Tasmanians on the list than any club.
Yeah. On the flip side, it's a Hobart-based club and he's a Launceston. So.
You're a Penguin boy.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So back to the game.
Mm.
First quarter, absolute, like, it's actually really easily to analyse. Like, you can talk about the King's dominance, but basically we were losing the game in the midfield.
Yeah.
When Matt Rowe breaks or ties the single...
Ties.
Yeah.
Clearance record.
And, you know, it wasn't just on Dow, but it was a lot on Dow, but the other guys weren't stopping the flow. To me, we had a very attacking setup in the midfield. Like, we took a lot of risks, we were leaving a lot of spaces, and Gold Coast just walked through it, and it was utter domination, and that was sort of the story. Like, to me, the forward line was fine. It's a theory untested. We're actually quite efficient.
No, I thought between Shea, look, we've already mentioned Seth Campbell, but he could have easily had three goals on debut. I thought I didn't mind Bolter's work at all. Lynch is back next week.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, the forward line was not tested. To me, even the back line, who had a harder time, I wouldn't be, on the basis of that, I wouldn't be drawing any definitive conclusions. To me, the midfield matchup was so comprehensively won in the first half that every other position
became irrelevant. I'm in no way off Team Gibkiss. Despite some tough individual moments. Yeah.
No, I don't think there's many people who's on the other side of it. Like, completely agree. The Tyler Young one's a tougher question, but I wouldn't.
Well, it's hard to single out Tyler Young though, and not point out that Brodie didn't get a touch for a long time in the game as well. So, yeah, I agree. It's in the midfield, but it was missed tackles and other things. I mean, others have pointed out already tackles getting busted path, but we just didn't see much of it forward to really be able to judge the forward line. At least in that first half.
I mean, not to... I hate doing this because it's, you know, it's some of our favourites, but what we said about Samson in the last pod was very much... I think he had one touch at half time. Dow didn't get a touch at quarter time. And there was...
It was a harsh wake-up call for those of us who sort of believe, you know, he'd had a good pre-season.
But I think it was, like, something we talked about is... Thompson Down is objectively good at footballer. football, and he's one of the top four midfielders at Richmond. But when you play in the midfield, you play against the best players in the AFL.
Mm.
And Matt Rowell may well be an All-Australian this year, and he's extremely good at what he does.
Oh, and I like Noah Anderson even better.
Yeah. No.
He's a gun.
Well, actually, interesting, Matt Rowell set a record for clearances, and yeah, he's not actually... he's good, but he's not great on some of the other ratings because he's a bit of a butcher, but he's extremely good at what he does, and... It was just a really tough day at the office for our mids, and no one else stood up. And you know, we've all seen the missed kicks by Hopper and Taranto, and Prestia did have one as well, and didn't have a great day. Like, it wasn't just that.
Kicking as a whole was not good.
I think Hopper was better. It was fun to see Hopper. There's been a lot of talk about how tough a year he had last year, and maybe this is the game as a whole instead of the first half, but Hopper. Hopper was encouraging, at least, in the second half. Maybe we're coming off a low bar there, but I thought Hopper was encouraging for the game. Would he end up with two, I think?
Two.
And one of them was pretty clutch. You know, that was one when we actually thought...
It was a nice kick, actually. It was probably his best kick all day.
Yeah. So
23 touches, by the way. Top with Short. But yeah, it's... Like, the whole... To me... Like, we don't know the setup, but in the second half, I think we won more defensive. We stopped gambling at the centre square, and then it started to even out. Then it started to look like a football game.
Yeah, Ross under half forward flank.
So that was the big difference. Thing. Yeah. And that was pulling Sampson off, putting Ross on. The one that we've missed so far, we haven't talked about, mentioned the forward line. Morris's pressure was good at times.
True. Very good. Through the midfield in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was down on... in the preseason, like we discussed,
he didn't have a great preseason,
but that was a perfectly fine game. There was no one on the forward line I could, you know, Cozzy didn't have a lot of touches for quite a lot of game time, so that was a weakness. But overall, yeah, it's just the midfield first half dominations. By the way, guess who list? Well, you can see my phone, but guess who led the team on clearances?
Sam Naismith.
Yeah. I hate saying this because I know it. You love teasing me that hit-outs don't correlate to winning.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at the time that we've been on. It's 12 minutes, 38 seconds.
And new record.
New ruck record. Yeah, there you go.
We actually won the hit-outs. I hate to admit that. But, like, it was just the Wits won all the really big ones.
And I hate myself for saying it. It felt like he had better quality ones.
No, that's exactly right.
Without being able to measure it objectively?
No, you could see, because he had the ones where he really tapped it, where we gambled another way, and Naismith could not let the ball go there, and he did. But, like, you're playing Wits, right?
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he's really 31. Good. Like, to me, that wasn't a great plan. Like, relying on Naismith to at least draw the tap against Wits was, yeah.
But tell us, though, why did putting Bolter in work so well? Because that was a real spark for us, putting Bolter into the ruck. Mm. Why did it work? Andy?
Well, you know I love Bolter as a second ruck because he's so athletic. Like, he's a frightening dude, right? Like, he's so athletic. He hits with such intent. And you saw that in the forward line.
And it makes the game simple for him, which is not a bad thing.
Exactly. Like, it's not sustainable all game because you can't jump that high with that force. Sort of 60, 70 times, which is what Ruckman has to do. But as a shock tactic, it works really well.
Well, he's talked about this himself over the preseason. And I think he said that Uze had said it to him, that he is the power athlete.
And the best thing is you do it in the second half. Wits didn't really have proper, you know, he has a bit of support. But Wits is basically doing it all. He's tired. And Noah comes in having not rucked all day because Samson had done his thing. And then suddenly you went from Samson Ryan, who is a vacuum on the physicality stage at this stage in his career, and then Noah, who's like he's such a physical presence. Like, didn't you feel it watching the game? The whole game, like, Ross really helped too, but to me, Noah.
I know, I had my eyes closed for quite a bit of that.
Rocking back and forth.
But, like, you can't measure on the stats sheet, but, like, in the big contests, in the big moments, Noah made such a difference. I don't know.
Seven inside 15s, 15 disposals. He had a good game.
Did you have a lot of faith, though, when he had ball in hand and he was lining up for a shot on goal?
Awkward silence.
I was waiting for Nick to say something. Anyway, so did we learn anything more about the back line? Like, aside from, we're still on Tim Gibbs in the third quarter. By the way, it was our second highest rated player.
Oh, well, we haven't mentioned Flossie. Flossie was great. Fantastic.
Yeah. 12 intercepts, played really well. Nathan Broad. Not a good game.
No.
So, Nick, you said before the game, absolutely should be Gibbs on King. And then we didn't seem to do it. We just didn't give Tyler Young a lot of reps.
I don't know, because they always prefer to have a structure
with
certain people at certain positions rather than individual one-on-one matchups. But, yeah, it didn't go well.
No. I mean...
And, you know, Carlton this week.
It went as well as all previous matchups against the King Brothers have gone for the Richmond Football Club. So, yeah. What else did we learn from the game?
We need to clone Shea Bolton.
Yep, that's fair. Like, yeah, he was... I can't believe he got criticised in an article this week. Jesus. Like, yeah, I think it was Robbo. I didn't actually read the article. He got a thumb... got a thumbs down from Robbo. Yeah, it's like... Like, he kicked 3 goals.
Yeah. Not very many opportunities.
I don't know that we learnt this, but I really didn't like seeing Damien Hardwick sitting in Suns colours in the box.
No. Okay, so, like, counterpoint, yes. Like, and it was very funny that everyone was booing him. But the fact he did the video before the game where he got the Richmond player to... Richmond
kid.
Switch his jumper. To me, they're playing up to the heel bit.
Oh, yeah.
And as a pro wrestling thing, like, the fact it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, it's not serious. Like, we should be able to boo him now and theatrically and not have an issue. But of course we won't, because we, you know, that is just...
He did get booed by Richmond fans.
No, he definitely got booed. Yeah. But we should continue to boo him, and everyone should realise that it's tongue-in-cheek and it's not really... It's a bit serious booing.
And it is fun.
Whereas we all still, as we said in the show last week... We all still love Brandon Ellis, and his kicking is still quite unreliable.
Well, it's interesting, not that this is, the Suns Tiger talk, but Brandon Ellis did get subbed off too. So he's still not really in favour with...
Yeah.
So I figured he's got a crappy defensive cover midfielder role, winger role, but he looked...
He didn't look good.
Yeah, he looked a little bit like he's reaching his end.
We're jumping around a bit here, but what did you think of Pickett's game?
I love watching Pickett play.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one person I don't want to... I always... Unless they're Tom Lynch, once they hit 30, I want to retire them. Mm-hmm. I just love watching... Like, he's just... I described him to you as... He's like a prize fighter. It's like, even when we were getting done, he just knows how to play footy, and he always has a presence.
And you notice the physicality when he's near the ball. Like, we were thinking of, maybe... This is the year the game passes his by, but just objectively on the evidence of preseason and round zero, like, he just belongs in the team.
Yeah, and look, I know if things go badly against Carlton and we're 9.5-point favourites, there's going to be a lot of talk about... Yeah. Not trigger words.
Underdogs.
Yeah, what did I say?
Favourites.
Favourites, sorry, underdogs. Sorry, trigger words, but Kane Corns is already saying we should be playing the kids. Anyway, whatever. It's going to come.
I thought we'd agreed not to mention
it. Yeah, I know. That's why I said warned you that it's going to be a trigger conversation. But sort of big picture is, like, if things go... Like, this will be a debate. To me, like, there are plenty... If you wanted to start balancing between playing for now and bringing more youth in, I wouldn't start with Pickett. Even though I'm not necessarily the best player, but I just think he's the kind of guy you want around, even around young kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think... Not giving guys on merit, gifting people games. Like, we're all sadly old enough to remember some of the cultural issues with Richmond teams in the 1990s with players who were gifted games as youngsters and the lack of accountability that came with it. So
they haven't done it this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if Prestia was one that they gave a couple of rests through the year, given his history with soft tissues, if we have a couple of shorter turnarounds off travel, that sort of thing.
And Tom Brown's been in emergency the first 2 weeks.
So to me, that's the one thing. So if you want to take the controversial, like we took the non-controversial path about saying the player we liked, but the sort of the Grimes, look, I think they did.
Notwithstanding the 50-meter penalty was ridiculous.
Oh no, outrageous, infuriated me. But like that is the obvious one. And they did the right thing. The play Grimes, even though he had no preseason form, so it's not like he's been playing on reputation, not on recent form. But you don't, if you have a guy with Grimes' pedigree and age on the team, you have to play him first. Because once you start not playing him, it's really hard to come back in. But the Brown Grimes question, if that keeps up, is to me, that's where the debate starts.
Mm. I mean, you know, so I think Sonzi is eligible for senior football next week. I'd be interested how far away he is.
Who would you think?
He would be competing for Ross's spot.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate because he played quite well.
And he's also semi-young.
Yeah.
Anything else about the game?
Yeah, I had the same reaction to Hardwick. Yeah, didn't. I actually enjoyed it. He looked stressed.
Well, he looked stressed because I thought for a brief moment that we actually had a chance as well. Like I was slapping the table and I was very excited that third quarter. It was great. And if we had a kick the first of that fourth, it felt like it was on.
Yeah, we mentioned Morris Rioli, but Dan Rioli off half back. Love it.
I must say, about three quarters of the way through the third quarter, I could hear my heartbeat going again. I thought, oh yes, football. Yes.
You're doing it to me again.
I was invested.
But look, we already mentioned Seth Campbell, but you know, good solid. It showed off some of the things he's good at, is because he's quick but not blazingly fast, and sort of as a junior, what he was good at was good at working back through midfield and then running super hard through forward 50 and creating space. And he did that a couple of times. Like it was, you know, it's a notoriously difficult position to be consistent in. But it was good to be.
But not for Banks, given that he's been dropped.
No, I think that was, some of his defensive efforts were subpar.
Yeah.
Suboptimal.
The physicality of AFL senior footy is still a challenge.
Hopefully this game goes the way of opening round for next year, that we don't start football quite so early and we don't have to relive this game again too soon.
Indeed. Now, Dan, you are the press conference doctor as a former member of the media. So how did you take Uze? What's your analysis of Uze's post-game
press? It took me 2 days to watch it. I had to sit and make myself sit down and watch it. And then I really liked it. And then I really wanted to...
He's very likeable.
I wanted to hit the phone because I watched it on my phone. Look, it was great. I thought that he was level and he gave a very cogent explanation for what happened, and he supported the players and he did everything that you would want a good coach to do. But I did. I felt halfway through that game, I thought, this is a disaster. Why have we done this? It was just everything was spiralling out of control and I wanted to hate him. But it was reassuring watching him. He it was interesting that he individualised a few players in a way that I can't remember Hardwick doing off the bat, so to speak. So he wasn't prompted by, the easy journalist question, pretty lazy question is, Noah Bolter had a good game, and then just hope that the coach will fill that void for you and give you a few words. But he actually went out of his way and he singled out a few players. And at least that was the thing that struck me when I watched him.
So, Dan, if you were asking the first question in the Richmond press conference, what would it start with?
I'd probably start with, do you remember who wrote the predictive article in 2017
that said that Richmond was going to win the premiership.
We're moving on. Folks said we're moving on.
Folks at home can't see, but Andy's hand is in his hands.
I'm just so annoyed with myself that I gave you that opportunity. I'm just, oh God. Anyway, I thought he was really positive and nice, considering like a lot of AFL coaches. Okay, it's his first press conference. Let's see what he's like in round nine.
Yeah.
If we're, you know.
It was much harder for him as a losing coach than it would have been for Hardwick as a losing coach, I think. Mm. Because Hardwick as a losing coach coming off the Suns could have talked about a positive narrative of getting up and that sort of thing. It was hard. Uzo was in a more difficult position because there was a lot of talk about Richmond going backwards, and now it's become a media narrative, and you can see that in the reporting this week, that Richmond's falling off the cliff, and that's going to be the narrative for the next couple of weeks, unless we get over Carlton and win a couple.
Speaking of which, I think that's a good time to transition.
So I did have the thought of, and look, honestly, as Richmond supporters, we've had precedent for every form of disappointment, but having ascended Carlton while we're on the way down would be pretty painful. But having Carlton's a good team, but also they've been really lucky as well. Like, if Brisbane kicks better, unexpected shots, that was a 3-goal win to Brisbane. They had 13 more inside 50s. The whole final series was a string of close games that were a bounce of the ball away from Carlton losing. So yeah, Carlton being both lucky and good, it's particularly frustrating. Even this version of Carlton, which is missing a couple of key players in Wietering and Walsh, among others, but yeah, they feel pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, they've got a really tall forward line.
They do, and yeah.
Actually, really hard.
Well, Kurnow's quite short for an elite AFL key forward these days.
True, but if you've got a partner in crime that's, what, 201?
201.
Yeah. And by the way, I think he was the hardest running player on the ground. Or might not have been the hardest, but he was in the top three. So he came up in the AFL tracker. He's a really hard matchup.
Yeah, and they both played well. They both kicked for goal well. Carlton midfield won contested possession handily against a pretty loaded Brisbane outfit, even without Sam Walsh, and that's that sort of concern. You know, he's Adam Chera. Better in his second year. George Hewitt was surprisingly good. Cripps is always a problem for us. Like, yeah, for a midfield for us that was clearly below par last week, they've got to step up.
No, and it's great Dow got another chance, but it's almost like a murderer's row. Like, the two inside mids that might win favourites for being all Australians are probably he's played 2 weeks in a row.
I can just imagine that people are listening and they just want to hear the words Tom Lynch. Tom Lynch coming back has got to be...
And the other guy. Oh, what's his name?
Oh, Dustin
something? Yeah,
Dustin Martin. Not that we want to just hang our hats on the man that probably single-handedly won us the 2019.
We hang our hats on two of the five best paid players in the NFL.
Something like that. I
heard there's a proposal to rename Kidinia Park Dustin Martin because that's the legal owner.
As the traditional owner.
Thank you, Sean, for that joke. Sorry, Colin.
But the look, it sets a really low bar. But as long as the game looks something a lot more like the second half of the Suns game compared to the first half, it'd just be awful to go there and watch the team get obliterated again. And I don't feel like that's what Carlton will do to us. I I really want to win. I won't be shocked to lose. But it's a Carlton that you wonder whether they will turn up.
Okay. They've got some injuries in their small forwards as well. Like David Cunningham was maybe their best small forward against Brisbane.
Okay. On brand, but we've done the very rare double rock dropping. we've dropped Naismith and Ryan. We are now expecting probably Nang to do 75% ruck time with Noah coming in.
Which is a vote of confidence in his fitness.
And Pickett as the backup again, maybe?
Yeah, that's true. But it's a big vote of confidence in a guy who's 105, 110 kilo dude who's had a plantar fasciitis, which is really bad injury for big tall
people. Painful injury.
So it's a big vote of confidence. That is a lovely way to phrase it. And we don't have a backup plan. So let's hope it was well placed. Because it does actually make a huge difference. Like, Naismith was great. He established ourselves as a backup ruck. Knack is much better than Naismith.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, particularly dropping back into the defence. Yeah, look, Naismith's contesting work when the ball hit the ground was good, but... Yeah.
And look, to be honest, most of the centre clearances we lost really badly against the Gold Coast never got to the secondary contest, so it didn't... Once the ball was gone before the ruckman could influence the sort of secondary contest, so I'm not sure that... But, like, Nank is just better. He makes a huge difference, so I hope he's fit. So...
It is a shorter team. It is... having Dusty as a marking target does compensate for having to rotate one that bolter through the ruck. So
yeah, good point. Actually, I haven't thought of that. And
Cozzy got dropped. Yeah. So Wettering aside, their forward line's a lot scarier than their back line.
Yeah.
And it's probably the reverse for us in a sense, but it is really a good test for our back line coming off a pretty abysmal game last week.
Yeah, it's the question of, well, if, you know, we all seem pretty happy with Gipkiss's game, well, they've got two gun forwards. Is one of them going to get off the chain if they get time and space?
Yeah, and that's where you want Grimes to really polish the pride. And to say I'm going to come back and
he's played well on Kuno before.
He's played well, yeah. And a Brody or Young to do well on the others.
So Dan, as you know from listening to the podcast, we don't do anything as gauche as actually predict winners in this podcast. But what we do is give our opinion on the relative probabilities relative to what the gambling line is. Again, not endorsing gambling, but just because it's all about probability and mass. So is it still a 19.5 line?
Quick to the internet.
So this is very exciting podcasting. So to me, a 19.5 line, having been a little bit over-optimistic last week, maybe I'm just swinging wildly.
Yeah, look, the predictive power of one individual game is always relatively small.
No, I agree. And like it's...
16.5.
Oh, so it's come in with the three ins. Yeah, look, I think that's probably about right because what the thing we are deserved underdogs because of the midfield matchup.
Yeah, and their recent form is much better.
Yeah, okay. But so...
I feel like we've got a chance.
Dan, I'm already regretting these words. Do you have a contrarian take?
No, I don't. I agree with Nick. I'm just holding up my phone at the moment just to show that I don't even have the gambling odds on it. I've had it switched it off.
Oh,
I have
nice. Switched it off. I didn't know you could do that.
Just because that's how little... that's how much I don't believe in it. No, I think that's a really good way of putting it, frankly. We have a chance. Mm. That's what it feels like.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
I'm Dan.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.